Proverbs, of course, are part of everyday language for most of us. And some of the proverbs that we use are found in the Bible, and others are just common sayings. I wonder if you can spot, I'm going to just put some proverbs up here. I wonder if you can spot which of them are in the Bible and which are just common everyday things that you may have heard. What about this one? The first one, a bad workman blames his tools. One of my favourites, but not in the Bible. Next one, love covers over all wrongs. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Next one, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. A well-known saying, but not in Scripture. What about next one? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Yes, that's Proverbs 3, verse 7. What about this one? A fool and his money are soon parted. It may be true, but it's not in Scripture. What about this one? I love this one. A friend in need is a friend indeed. It rhymes, but it's not in the Bible. What about this one? A gentle answer turns away wrath. Yep, that's Proverbs 15, verse 1. Or next one, love covers all wrongs. It's Proverbs 10, verse 12. What about this one? A stitch in time saves nine. Sound advice. Vi likes this one, don't you, Vi? Sound advice, but not in the Bible. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what tomorrow may bring. Yep, that's right, Richard. It's Proverbs 27, verse 1. An ounce of character is worth a pound of intelligence. Relevant to our topic today, but not in Scripture. What about this one? An iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Yes, it is. That's right. It's in the Bible. It's in Proverbs 27, 17. What about this one? All that glitters is not gold. Merchant of Venice, Shakespeare, actually. Next one. Better late than never. One I've heard many times as a good excuse. But no, it's not in the Bible. The tongue has the power of life and death. Yes, Proverbs 18, 21. And don't put all your eggs in one basket. Well, it may be sound financial advice, but it's not necessarily good spiritual advice. Finally, pride goes before fall. Yes, that's Proverbs 16, verse 18. See, for most of us, proverbs are in everyday speech, at least from time to time. And the proverbs of the Bible are actually a mixture of different sayings. There's 900 wise sayings in the book of Proverbs. Some seem just common sense. Some are humorous. Many have found their way into everyday speech. But the book of Proverbs differs from other sources of Proverbs because it is wisdom from God. That's why we're focusing on it during this year. 900 wise sayings that constitute God's wisdom, God's counsel for godly living. Proverbs can be a very difficult book to read because it's written in what seems like a haphazard way. As you read through Proverbs, they don't seem to be in any particular order. Perhaps they're jumbled, so we can't just make rules out of them. But what we're doing over the course of the year is to study this book and find God's wisdom in these wise sayings and apply it to our lives. Now, we've seen over previous weeks there are two paths laid for us in the book of Proverbs. There's a path of the wise and the path of the foolish. It's not talking about intelligence. It's talking about godly wisdom and the need to walk with God. And the fool is someone who doesn't know God or walk with God. We've also seen that each path has got a destination. It's described and we've seen it contrasted. We've also seen that there's a way onto each path. There's a way onto the path of the wise and there's a way onto the path of the foolish. They're clearly marked. Then we looked at the nature of these paths and we found that the nature of God's path for us is a nature of the heart before it is a nature for it is something for our feet to walk, a path for our feet. And this week, we're going to look at the consequence of walking on God's path. What happens to me on the inside as I walk down God's path? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that we as your children are gathered together for you. And that we ask, would you come today by your Holy Spirit to instruct us, to teach us? Lord, that we would be changed and challenged, renewed and filled. Lord, that you would do some spiritual, amazing things in our hearts. Lord, we offer ourselves to you and say, Jesus, would you do what you want in our lives? Amen. The celebrated writer Oscar Wilde, he went on a visit from England to America. When he arrived in America, first thing he did, he arrived at customs. The customs officials said, "Have you anything to declare?" He said, "Only my genius." Outrageously conceited one-liner. But 15 years later, he was alone, he was broken in prison, he was a broken person and he was in prison, and he reflected on his life of waste, his life of excess, and he said this: "I forgot that every little action of the common day, it makes or unmakes your character." And he realized that the decisions, the path that he'd taken, had unmade his character. Something had happened on the inside. He'd learned the hard way that what counts in life is what's on the inside. He calls it character. The book of Proverbs is also concerned about what happens on the inside. The concern of the book of Proverbs is that as readers, we would see the importance of character. Now, I'm often asked to write a reference for someone who's applying for a job, or a child wants to apply for a school or a student to university. I'm very happy to do that for anyone here in the church. And an organization that requests a reference, they're not asking about someone's academic ability. They're not asking about their work experience. The one thing that they want to know, the vital question for the organization taking on a new person, is what is their character like? They want to know, what is their timekeeping like? What's their attitude to other people they're going to work with? What's their attitude to those in authority, to those they're going to work and be responsible to? Have they got a teachable, open, honest heart? What's their attitude towards work like? Are they diligent? Are they hardworking? Are they conscientious? Because what are they like on the inside? Any employer, any college, any school can teach skills and knowledge. But if someone's character is faulty or poor, then they're going to be making a bad choice in selecting a person to join the school, join the workplace, or join the college. Would you like a teacher to teach your children that didn't have good character? Would you like to stand in court before a judge who didn't have good character? Would you want a boss at work who didn't have good character? Of course not. Message of Proverbs is that good character, godly character, is of utmost importance. It's important to God about my character, and it's also important to me if I want to walk down God's path, if I want to know God's blessing. But even as I'm talking this morning, I'm aware that good character can be seen as something a bit old-fashioned. Certainly the media concentrates on every aspect of life except character, focusing endlessly on looks, on money, on sexuality, on ambition, on achievement. The magazine Good Housekeeping has been published for 130 years. And when it was first published, someone looked at the articles that were produced, looked back at the articles that were produced. And it's an institution of popular publishing. It's advice to any homemaker. And all those years ago, a third of the articles in that magazine were about character issues. By 1920, that number had dropped to just 3% of articles in that magazine. Today, there aren't any. The issues of character are not dealt with. In modern culture, good character is seen as an anachronism, something old-fashioned, not relevant to the modern world. Yet, the timeless relevance of God's word, as we read the book of Proverbs is saying to us, God is interested and it is important about character. Character is the foundation. And many years ago, I lived in a flat down Grafton Road. Grafton Road's not far from here, it's just down Kentish Town. I lived in the flat in Grafton Road, and it was the end house of a terrace of Victorian houses. And what happened is that I think the clay underneath, as has happened a lot in London, the London clay shrinks, then you get subsidence. And the house started to lean. It was the leaning tower of Kentish Town. This house started to lean, and in fact, it was one of the landmarks of the area. I could describe where I lived by the leaning house, because the place had leaned so substantially. As you walked down the street, it was the end house. You could see it leaning over. In fact, my party piece, when people came round, in the living room, I could get an orange in the living room, stand at one wall, put it on the carpet, and it would roll down the carpet to the other wall because the angle of the house, as the thing had subsided, was so great. I phoned the landlady complaining about the cracks, the subsidence, and the fact we couldn't open the front door because the house had moved like that. And of course, the door had just stayed like that, so you couldn't open the front door. So she sent round a workman, and he arrived with a cold chisel and a mallet. And rather than take wood off the bottom of the door, he succeeded to chip the stone step with his cold chisel and his mallet to lower the step so that we could open and get out of the house. Eventually, of course, the house was demolished and has been rebuilt once they fixed the foundation problems. But the problem with the house was foundational. And Proverbs teaches us that the character, my inner life is foundational in my life. And if foundations are poor and faulty, the whole of my life will be affected. I found this picture. Jeff, put the picture of the lighthouse up here. I found this picture, which you can't quite see that well. In fact, let's have a go at this. Pete, can you just go and hit the lights at the top there? Sorry to bother you. Just because it's really worth the effort, this. It's a fantastic picture. It's a picture of a lighthouse off the coast of France in Brittany. And if you look carefully, you can see there's a figure in the doorway, and it's the lighthouse keeper. And the story is that what happened is, look at those waves. They're just in fantastic pictures, gorgeous, isn't it, of those waves around that lighthouse. The night before, what happened was the waves smashed through the windows of the lighthouse and destroyed the belongings and the furniture of the lighthouse keeper. And so he was waiting to be rescued. And so he heard a noise outside, which he thought was the helicopter rescuing him. It wasn't. It was the press taking a photo in the helicopter. But, so he came outside, and the photos that follow on from this show this incredible wave that's at the side there coming round and smashing right across as he runs quickly back inside the lighthouse and shuts the door. They did rescue him the next day. But the amazing thing about that is that lighthouse stood firm. Those incredible, incredible waves. Because it was built on good foundations, that lighthouse stood firm, even though it was bashed and smashed by those waves. I want to say that if we're to stand the pounding of life's challenges, one thing needs to be strong and sure, according to the book of Proverbs, and it's a godly character inside me that will determine if I stand the ways of life. In the words of Frank Pittman, the psychiatrist, the stability of our lives depends on our character. I want us to see this morning that every Christian needs to be concerned with character. Pete, let's have a few more lights on, please. There are three reasons we'll look at today why character is important for us. First reason why character is important is the highest goal for us as followers of Jesus is that we will become like him, like his character. Romans 8:28. God chose his people to be conformed to the likeness of his son. In other words, there's a process that God wants to do in us which changes us and makes us more like Jesus. In Ephesians 4:13, God's goal is that as he works in us as individuals and collectively amongst us, we become mature, attending to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There's some process happening which is changing me, which is changing us. And in Galatians 4:19, that God's goal is this. Love so wonderfully put in the New Living Translation, that Christ is fully developed in your life. In other words, the character of Jesus, the characteristics of Jesus are seen in me, deep in my heart, deep in my life, foundationally in my character. And of course, Jesus himself is the pattern for our growing in character. Jesus, he walked the earth 2,000 years ago. Jesus, this incredible 100% God and 100% man. This unique being pre-existed before his birth. Never created, the eternal Son of God became a man at the incarnation. And becoming a man, Jesus put aside his glory, as we read in Philippians 2, but lost none of his divinity. He took up full humanity without taking on any of its sinfulness. So when we look at the life of Jesus, we see someone who, whilst perfect of God, as God grew in his humanity. Look what it says in Luke 2:52. It says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. It says Jesus grew up from a baby to a young boy to a young man. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and men. Not suggesting that Jesus was anything other than perfect at all times, but something in his human personality was growing. It was the character of a perfect man. In Hebrews 5:8, we read that Jesus, even though he was God's son, he learned obedience. Jesus learned obedience from the things he suffered. So as he was growing up, he learned things, he grew in wisdom, his human character was formed. And so as Christians, we're being changed as something is formed on the inside of us. That is, if we're following Christ, patterned after him. See, a godly character is where my life on the inside is aligned with Jesus. Because Jesus was fully human, it gives me hope that I can become like Jesus. That something can happen in me that can change me and make me like him. Over the coming months, I want to unpack what Proverbs teaches us about character, what it means to have the character of Jesus in a very practical way. And one way to think of character is what we are like on the inside. I suppose godly character could be summarized in the New Testament as the fruit of the Spirit. It's what's the within us that determines our daily choices. Godly character allows us to make wise and right choices in our life. Now, the danger of reading the book of Proverbs and trying to put it into practice is I end up just trying to be a better person. And I'm not talking this morning about trying harder to be nicer, but I'm talking about being transformed. And we're going to see this morning that God has a training program for your character. It's what I believe. It's what I believe that Proverbs is all about. Is actually there's a training, an individualized training program for your character to conform you to being like Jesus. There's a plan God has to change you on the inside and make you and me like Jesus. And we're going to see that. Over the coming months, we're going to get down to detail as we look at Proverbs teaches us about the godly character in practical areas of our lives, like what comes out of my mouth, my attitude towards money, my attitude towards work, self-control in my life, what it means to be a good friend to other people, the practical difference of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. As we study the book of Proverbs, the word way is used to describe character often in the book and in the Bible. In Proverbs 3:19, we talks about the way of a man. We look in 2 Chronicles where it talks about some kings and it says the ways of King Jehoshaphat and the ways of King Asa, telling us about their character of these particular men. And of course, God too has his ways, his character. In Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, all God's ways are just. Psalm 145 verse 7, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. And Isaiah 55 verse 8, where the contrast is, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, as he talks about the difference between God's thoughts and our thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. God has his ways. And we have our ways. And God's, there's a transformation process. The whole book of Proverbs is about transformation. It's about some change of my ways. And it's an inside out thing. It's not about trying to follow a set of rules. As we start this morning, one thing is clear. We're not born with a completed character. When a child's born, Michelle was telling us the good news of a baby being born. That baby's born, its character, it's not born with a complete character. Character is formed, it develops, it grows. And building good, godly character is not something you learn from a book, hear from a sermon. It doesn't come upon us at night or sneak up in the day. It doesn't come automatically. It's a process. And that process actually starts when you're a child and you're parented as a child, which leads us to the second reason why character issues are important. Because if you're a parent, according to the book of the Proverbs, then we as parents have got a central role in developing the character of our children. I want you to realize today that actually as a parent, if you're a parent today, A God-given responsibility and part of being a parent is to actively be developing the character of your children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way he should go. Ephesians 6 verse 4 speaks to fathers, but broadly to parents. It talks about children. It says, bring children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It's a responsibility on Christian parents actually to actively bring up children in a certain way, to follow a certain path, to go down a certain way of God's way. Hebrews 12 verse 7 continues the theme, for what children are not disciplined by their father? It's a rhetorical question. Of course they are. We all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. He goes on to say, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Now, if you're not a parent, then all of us have been raised either by parents or step-parents or guardians. And according to the Bible, one of the key roles of a parent or a guardian is to train up a child in the way that's best. To train, to instruct, to discipline and to correct. Of course, part of that is loving and caring and providing and nurturing. If you're fortunate to have good parents, then your parents will have worked long and hard at ensuring your character was formed over those years of childhood and adolescence into something good. If you were even more fortunate and had Christian parents, then they will have worked long and hard to ensure that your character was being formed into what is a godly character. And the best legacy that a parent can leave a child isn't money, it isn't property, it isn't something in a will, but it's something on the inside. The best legacy a parent could leave a child is godly character on the inside. It's the best thing that a parent could leave their children. There's a poem by American Horace Greeley. It says this, fame is a vapor. Means just, you know, just disappears. Popularity is an accident. Riches take wings. Only one thing endures, and that's character. And the reason why it endures is it's what's on the inside. What God's done in depositing godly character in your life is yours. It's in you. It's worked in you, and you take it wherever you go. That's the incredible thing about character. It's not something on the outside that you kind of lose or something on the outside that's kind of changeable. Character is something on the inside that's wrought over time, that's formed over time. Now, this morning, I'm not seeking to criticize the failings of any of our parents. And even with godly training, it's no guarantee a child will end up on the right path. They've got personal choices as they grow up and become adults. Well-known expert on bringing up children once said this, I started with four theories and had no children. Now I have four children and no theories. There's no perfect parent. But all of us who are parents naturally want our children to be successful. But according to the book of Proverbs, it's their character that actually makes them really succeed in life. If they lack character, brains and worldly success count for nothing. Novelist Walker Pierce said this, some people get all A's, A, but they flunk life. See, because character is about having the right stuff on the inside. And so this morning, can I encourage you, if you are a parent, to seriously think about what your role is in terms of actively parenting in this whole aspect of forming character. And to look through, study scripture, particularly the book of Proverbs, to see what God's instructions are to us as parents as to, God, how do we do this? How do we do this, Lord? But the third reason why character issues are important, I believe, because it's important which friends we choose. Now, I'm not talking about our mission to touch the lives of those who don't know Christ. Obviously, we're called to touch everyone's life. I'm called to touch the person, my neighbour. I'm called to touch the person on the bus. I'm called to the person at work. God calls us to touch everyone's life. But Proverbs has something to say about those we would choose to have as close friends. those that we choose to allow to speak into our life and who we feel free to be able to share with and talk with. And it's actually, the proverb tells us that we're to be careful who we choose as friends, and to work ourselves at being a good friend. Specifically, it warns, avoid having a friend or anyone who's evil or violent, dishonest or who's a gossip, someone who's not walking on God's path, and someone who's self-centered. Now, we're not called to criticize each other, but we're called to be discerning as to who we seek as friends. But this morning, the punchline, all I've said this morning is in sense an introduction, really, to what we're going to look at over the weeks ahead. But this morning, my punchline for today is this. See, I believe God places a very high priority on forming the character of Jesus in my life. I believe God places a very, very high priority on changing you, on changing your character, on making you like Jesus. I believe in terms of God's priorities for our lives, it's way, way up there. And it's so vital, I believe, that God will use people and circumstances that surround my life as ways of changing me. Sometimes someone explained it once to me like this. In the old days of a blacksmith in a village, they'd have an anvil. They'd have a forge to get the metal hot. When the metal was hot, they'd get some tongs, get the horseshoe red-hot metal out of the fire, put it onto the anvil, and start bashing that piece of metal to form it into a horseshoe. It'd start off being straight. It was in the fire, it was red-hot. They'd take it out, and they'd bash and bash and bash and bash. And when it starts to cool down, put it back in the fire, get red-hot again, and take it out, and bash and bash and bash to form that what needed to be formed, the shape of that horseshoe. I believe God uses our work. God uses people around us. God uses our families. God uses situations in our life, difficulties in our life, actually at ways of forming us into the character of Jesus. See, sometimes it feels like I'm either in the fire, like that piece of metal that's been heated up, ready to be molded, or it feels like I'm on the anvil and I'm being bashed and bashed and bashed by someone or something in my life. So God uses as a tools to change my character, to change me. He uses these things around. I believe it's vital this morning that we recognize that and see that. I don't know how often you thought, I've certainly thought this, God, why are these things happening to me? God, why is this going wrong? Why is that going wrong? Why is this horrible boss? Why is this terrible neighbor? Why is this terrible financial situation I've got myself into? God, why is things like this? Actually, I'm not saying God brings those things about necessarily, but God absolutely uses these things around my life to conform me, to mold my character to the character of Jesus. Romans 5 verse 3 and 4 says this. It says, suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. Character hope. See, hope is the confident expectation of being like Jesus, spending eternity with him and knowing him. There's a process going on. Often things that we find very difficult and very hard, actually there's a subplot. There's a behind the scenes agenda. God has an agenda to change me. Many years ago, I worked for an oil company called BP. And my manager there sent me on a training course. It was a leadership training course. And he said, and I thought, and you know, some of these courses, I said, oh no, it's not going to be kind of Bear Grylls kind of style in, you know, out of Scotland, trying to survive for a week on spiders and grubs and live under trees. Oh no. But it wasn't. It wasn't. It was in a lovely luxury hotel in the Wye Valley. This is fantastic. Brilliant. This is going to be great. A holiday. Beautiful hotel, lovely hotel, and beautiful grounds. Wye Valley is a lovely part of England. And I was sent on this course, and I didn't know anyone else on the course. They were all people from BP. BP's a big company, obviously, and a lot of people didn't know anyone else. I was on this course, and they put us into teams. And I thought this was going to be a holiday, and it wasn't a holiday. There was an agenda morning, noon and night. And it was very professionally run. It was very carefully staged so that I would go through a series of experiences and those experiences would expose my weaknesses. And so over a period of those days, we went through all kinds of, they call them team building, don't they, whatever. It was basically from one experience to the other without kind of chance to catch a breath. I remember the kind of the final, they call it a plenary session where you finish and you sit down. And I remember sitting down, my head in my hands, because I just was a total wreck. Because one thing that happened on this course is my character failings had been exposed. My character failings had been exposed to everybody else. So everybody else on that course saw my weaknesses and really knew my, if I knew theirs as well, but they saw my weaknesses. But also it was like someone put a big mirror up in front of my inner life. See, my outer life, I can project a certain persona, a certain convo, I could do all kinds of things. But my inner life, me, what am I like? It was like at the end of the course, there was a big mirror and a powerful spotlight on me so that I could see myself really as it was. And it wasn't very pretty. I left actually deeply discouraged, to be honest. I'm glad I was a Christian, otherwise I don't know where I would have gone with all my discouragement. Because I realized there were some fundamental things in my character that were not good. They weren't helpful. There were things that really I'd failed in a sense. Well, I had failed. And so I went away from that course kind of really profoundly shocked. Thankfully, in the goodness of God, God used that thing in a stepping stone for starting a process in me. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the scripture in James 1, verse 23 and 25, where it says this, talking about a mirror. It says this in James 1, 23 and 25. It says, anyone who listens to the word, anyone who listens to the Bible, but doesn't do what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, after looking at himself, goes away and forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks into the perfect law that gives freedom, continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what they do. And there's a sense, as we look into the Bible, that there's a sense we see, it exposes our sin, exposes my faults, it exposes where I'm lacking as I look in the Bible. As I see the beauty of Jesus, as I see in there, it kind of reflects, it shows me as I am. There's one aspect of that. But also as I look in scripture, I see the beauty of Jesus and I see what God's calling me to be and what God's doing in me. So there's two kind of aspects I think that James is talking about here. And the difference between that course I went on, at the end of that course I was discouraged. I didn't kind of see, well, okay, that's the problem in me. Well, what am I going to do about it? As we look into the Bible, and as we look into Proverbs, and it exposes things in my life that need to change, the good news is the Bible is a book of mercy. The Bible is a book of grace. And as we look in Scripture, there's hope for change and there's power for change. We're going to look at different aspects of what it means to have a godly character over the coming months. I want to finish this morning with an encouragement to you, because I believe some of us here are struggling to make sense of trials, make sense of difficulties, make sense of circumstances in our lives, and find, God, I don't understand. God, what are you doing? Let's look at Hebrews verse 12. It says this, have you completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't lose heart when he rebukes you. The Lord disciplines the one he loves. And he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. And here's the because bit. God is treating you as his children. See, there are things happening in our lives right now. They could be very difficult things. I could feel like I'm in the fire, like that blacksmith where I described the metal being heated up. Or I could feel like I'm on the anvil being pounded by some person or some circumstance. Just keep coming bash, bash on my life. But actually, God has an agenda for change. There's actually something is, because God loves me far too much to let me stay the way I am. There's a process. There's a training program for my character. God is about changing my character. And God is about changing your character. And I want to encourage you today to bring our situations we find ourselves in and say, God, I bring my trials to you. I bring my difficulties to you. I bring, if the specific things you go through at the moment, God, I bring these things to you. God, would you work the character of Jesus in me? God, through these things, would you make me more like Jesus? God, through these things, would you cause me for Christ to be fully formed in my life? Let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you that you love us so much that, Lord, you're not willing just to allow us to stay the same, but you have an agenda for change for our lives. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you there's hope in the good news. I thank you that there's power for change in the good news. I thank you, Jesus, that today, Lord, that you've not abandoned us and just let us do whatever we want, but you have a purpose of changing us, molding us, and making us to be like your son, Jesus. We want to ask, God, would you do it more? God, would you conform us more to the character of Christ? Lord, we want to bring to you our specific trials, whether we feel like we're in the fire or we feel like we're being bashed on this anvil. Lord, we bring our specific difficulties, trials, and challenges to you. God, would you use these things to form us on the inside, to form this godly character, to form this thing you value so much, which is that we would be like Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes to see what you're doing in the situations around us, in the pressures around us, in the difficulties around us. I felt this morning as we're quiet before God to suggest quietly in our hearts that we offer to God any specific difficulty, any specific difficult person, difficult issue, difficult circumstance in our life, offer it to God and say, God, please, would you use this to form the character of Jesus in me? Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd move amongst us this morning and that you'd come and that you would highlight, open our eyes to see what you're doing. I feel for some of us here that may seem very hard to do that, and seems like, God, I just want you to change this situation. God, I just want you to take me out of this situation. I just want you to remove this person. So what I'm saying this morning may seem very hard, but I'm asking us to come in humility before God and say, God, your path, your purpose, what you have, Lord, your will be done. God, would you please give me the strength, the grace, the power, all that's needed to walk down this path. I believe also for some of us, we just feel we don't understand the situation, and that feels very disempowering and very frustrating not to understand something. And again, we could bring it to God and say, God, I don't understand. I choose to trust you. Would you teach me and show me and open my eyes, Lord? I saw one person pushing against this huge, huge solid rock, and there was no way they were going to move it. And I felt it speaking of one or maybe more of us trying to move something in our life that is totally immovable because it's outside our capacity to move it. And I feel God wants us, instead of trying to push against it, instead to lift our hearts to him and say, God, would you do what you want to do? Would you remove it when you want to remove it? Would you work in it as you want to work in it, Lord? I feel it's really good to bless each other while we're together. Just put your hand on the person's shoulder, please, who's next to you, and just bless them. Just say, God, would you give my brother strength? Would you give my sister strength? God, would you work in her life this week? Lord, this week, would you give strength to my brother? Would you give strength to my sister that they would be able to see what you're doing? Call on the name of the Lord for each other. Bless each other this morning.